This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05 in the evening with Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin, and we want to know, what type of fish are you? What type of office chair? What type of, you know, special newfangled headphones are you? And the reason why I ask is because no matter what it is that you want to know, there's a personality test out there that is going to match you to, whether wrong or right, whatever strange item you want to be. And, you know, we've all kind of fallen prey to this, right? When somebody shares it or when you just find it intriguing or funny. And we wanted to kind of explore the value of personality tests because whether it's from the angle of them being a potential invasion to your privacy, or whether they are kind of the modern version of the horoscope. There's just a lot going on in this.
Yeah, so like the ones that you mentioned just now, Lynn, which office chair, or which piece of furniture, yeah, those are the typical non-serious ones that you can find on the internet and social media. But they're also the more serious ones in a way, things like the Myers-Briggs test and the Big Five personality test, which uses different methods and measures to sort of like figure out which personality type you belong to. So whether it's serious or non-serious tests, people take them to sort of like understand themselves better and to, I guess, like try and figure out which category they belong to.
Now, there are, of course, upsides and downsides to taking personality tests. It can be helpful to understand your strengths and weaknesses, which will be helpful when it comes to looking for the right career, for example. On the other hand, online personality tests have faced scrutiny over their accuracy and data privacy concerns.
Okay, so we wanted to get an idea about what people thought about these sort of personality tests and whether they've taken them before. And, you know, surprise, surprise, most of us have.
Yes, I did, because I was curious to see what kind of person I am.
Yes, I did, because I would like to know more about myself.
I can learn how my behaviors are, and it will show a result that it will be more or less accurate to who I am right now.
I do, because it's fun and get to know more about myself or confirm things that I think I feel about myself.
I've taken one recently for the company that I work with, and I think it's helped in like understanding each other's personalities and how we can work better with each other.
And there's a number of personality tests out there, and here are some that folks have taken before.
Just a Myers-Briggs one.
I love doing the MBTI, the 16 personality. Yeah, and I got INFP.
I got the entertainer. I actually kind of like entertainer people because they are very outgoing, they are friendly, very easily to build conversations with them.
Ooh, it's interesting to hear how common the Myers-Briggs one is. Mm-hmm. I remember when it first started, it feels for me at least as if it resurfaces every couple of years. It's like you take it and suddenly there's a whole surge of people going, INFJ feels, am I right? And you're like, okay. And so there is a strange, I don't know what it is. I don't know whether it just takes one person and then suddenly it spreads like wildfire because people are like, hey, have you taken this? Do it, do it. I want to know what you are.
Maybe because there's 16 personality types, right, that you can belong to. So in a way, people feel that it's more accurate or representative perhaps of who you might be, and maybe that's why it's popular.
Well, to be fair, also some companies tend to want to use it as a gauge on sort of what role you might be best in. That perhaps could be one reason why it's still popping up now. Again, people are still actively being asked to take it.
And they use like categories like entertainer and architect, which is like, you know, something that you can visualize, right? So you're like, oh, okay, that's who I am.
And also, like we mentioned, there are those fun quizzes that tell you which pop culture icon you're most like. When we asked about which personalities people identified with, here's what they said.
So from the INFP, I got Alicia Keys. She's one of my favorite singers and she's an amazing songwriter. So I would think her lyrics just relate to me a lot.
Football characters, though. I was identified as Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick is a Man United player who is very calm, cool and collected. So I guess that's how I am.
I took a quiz on Facebook about what color your aura is. I'm not too sure if it's pop cultural, but I have an indigo aura. So that's something I didn't know.
I think I took one in high school about like which Friends character you were. And I got Chandler. And I think I definitely identify with that. A bit of cynicism, a bit of comedy here and there.
Oh man, those which Friends character are you, which The Office character are you, those are also incredibly popular. Yeah, I think overall for me, whenever I think about personality tests, there's a reason I brought up horoscopes earlier, because I think for at least in my life, they scratch the exact same itch. Sometimes yeah. I just want to look at somebody else assess me and think, what do I agree with? What don't I? And it's just a bit of fun. I don't necessarily decide that, today is a bad day for Cancerians to wear purple.
Mercury is constantly in retrograde today.
Honestly. But that's not necessarily something I identify with. So I think I don't use personality tests as a guide for how to live my life. Instead, it's more like a fun little, sometimes you really just want to know what kind of ladybug you are. That's fine.
Yeah, just to get some kind of idea, like a better idea of like who you are really. But what I find is that I took the Myers-Briggs test for the first time like a couple of months ago.
Did we made you? Yeah, we forced you into it.
You guys did, basically. And
it's, social pressure, just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. And like it's a long set of questions, and my experience answering those questions, like I got bored like halfway through. I felt like there was a time pressure as well, and that perhaps influence the accuracy or non-accuracy of it, and I disagreed with the results greatly.
That should be a question that they have in the middle of that test. Are you bored right now? And then that can help like sift you out into different personalities as well. So talk to us. I mean, whenever you see a personality test online, whether it's a more quote-unquote serious one or whether it's your average BuzzFeed test, can you resist, or is it something that you're immediately drawn to? If you've done a Myers-Briggs, what are you? Tell us. Call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are joined now to discuss this by Helen Langhammer, Director of Aspire Consulting. Helen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on again.
So could you give us a brief primer on the work that you do and how it relates to what we're talking about with personality tests?
Okay, I'm the director of Aspire Consulting, and we work largely with leadership development, team development, and organizational development. Our clients are mainly big multinationals. So as part of our offering, we use a number of psychometric profiling tools. Now, they vary in the types of results they give, and as a result, we tend to use them in different avenues. So the three that we are qualified to administer are the HBDI, which is thinking styles. That we would use, it's such a broad-ranging tool. It looks at your preference for particular thinking. So, for example, are you the type of person who enjoys thinking about facts and figures logically? Are you very goal-orientated? Or do you prefer to think in a more organized, sequential, detailed manner? Do you have more of a bent towards dealing with people? Do you have a high level of empathy? Or are you more likely to be the type of person who is more strategic in their thought and creative in your thought? So we would use that for a number of reasons. Firstly, for people to understand their own style, because it can help when, as you mentioned, putting people in roles. So, for example, if you have someone whose natural predisposition is to organize sequential thinking, they're really not going to thrive in a job where creative, strategic thinking, risk-taking is required. So it helps place people in good jobs accurately. Also, it helps in a team environment because when a team understands each other's thinking styles, they can understand why it is that particular people rub them up the wrong way. And it may not be personality. It may be just they see the world through a different lens. So, for example, somebody who's very fact and figure orientated would find the emotion of someone who's more empathetic a little bit hard to understand. But when they are profiled and they share their profiles with each other, they can then make allowances. So that's the first one we use. The second one we use is the Belden Team Roles Model. Now, it is it's not really a psychometric per se. It measures our preference for different work roles. And this is the only tool, really, that is absolutely specific to a work environment. It looks at the types of roles that people play in work. You'll have people who are, say, a marketing director or a finance director as a part of a senior team. But their secondary roles are things like, are they the ideas person? Are they the person who's going to bring those ideas to fruition? Are they the person who is going to make the connections to make the ideas work? So we use that largely with teams that have been together for some time, who understand each other, who have worked together for a while, know each other, are willing to give one another feedback. Now, the difference between that and the thinking styles is the Belbin team roles is it's almost like a 360, because you ask, you complete the profile yourself online, and then you ask six people. So that would be your boss, your direct reports, and your peers to give feedback. So you get a complete picture. So that one's interesting, because quite often people will describe themselves one way and the rest of their team will describe them in a completely different way. So that provides a challenge as a consultant. It's a very interesting challenge, though. The third one we use is the Berkman method. Now, this is one we reserve for coaching assignments, where because the level of disclosure that the Berkman gives is really very deep. It looks at our normal behavior, our hidden needs, which, if they are not met, provide us with our stress behavior, and then look at our interests. So we would use that one really in longer-term coaching projects. So there are a variety of different tools that you can use to get different outcomes. Mm-hmm. So that's it in a nutshell.
I just want to ask you, what is it about personality tests that made you come to believe in the value of them?
Well, it depends on what you describe as a personality test. I would describe these as psychometric profiles. And for me, they have to have a scientific basis. They have to have the credibility of a number of studies behind them to validate the results before I would use them. So, for example, some of the BuzzFeed, Facebook type of tests that you were talking about earlier in the show, I would lose credibility as a consultant if I were to recommend using those with my clients. So, all of the psychometric profiling tools that we use are well-tested, well-validated. And in fact, they've been around for quite some time and have been tested against one another. Now, what I would say as a consultant is that it doesn't matter what psychometric tool you use, provided that you've got someone who understands what the results mean and how to apply them. I think there are various ways of measuring the same thing, but you really do need to have someone who's qualified to understand how to deliver those results and what they mean for the person who's taken the test.
Have you ever seen these tests have a harmful effect?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think when people don't fully understand the purpose of the test, so, for example, with the thinking styles, that does not measure your ability, the Herman brain dominance. It doesn't measure your ability in thinking in a particular style. It measures your preference. So when you have people who say, well, I'm only good at doing this, or I'm not good at doing that, then they're denying themselves the opportunity for development based on a lack of understanding of their profile. And I think there is a tendency sometimes for people to pigeonhole one another based on what their profile results are. And I think that is dangerous. It's something we always caution against, because these are just tools. They're just one data point to understand your colleagues or understand your employees. There are a lot of other methods to understand people as well as psychometrics.
So with that pigeonholing then, I mean, how do you kind of sidestep it, but manage your way through it? Because like you said, I think very often people look to these things as a form of identification, or other people come to identify those traits with them, and then it's very hard to move on from that.
Yeah, I think we, as I say, we always caution people about what the tool actually measures. When people fall into the trap of saying, well, I am this style, therefore my behavior is X, Y, and Z, I would always pull them up on that, because I think, the use of psychometrics, they are invaluable in providing objective feedback, particularly those that are 360. They provide objective feedback on people's personalities, on their thinking style, on their preferences, and so forth. But there is always that danger, and it's really through a lack of understanding that people can be pigeonholed. So we would always warn against pigeonholing people. I can take myself for as an example. In terms of the thinking styles, my own style is very personable, very creative, and yet I worked in the pharmaceutical industry for 10 years. Now, if someone had looked at my profile and said, well, this person ideally not suited to working in a scientific environment based on that profile alone, I wouldn't have got the job.
Mm.
So, you know, as I say, the interpretation of the tool is what is most important, I think.
You know, personality tests have become like really popular online. I'm just wondering, like, why do you think people love taking them?
I think because they're available, they're free, they're there. I mean, quite often, you know, there are a number of reasonable personality profiling tools online. For example, the Big Five is available free online, and that is valuable for people to understand whether they are naturally more cautious or more outgoing. I think people are always keen to hear about themselves, so they will be attracted to anything that tells them what they, you know, what they want to know. Or, as I say, the types of, like you describe, Lynn, so what kind of tomato am I?
Sometimes you just want to know.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure there's a use for that information somewhere, but I haven't found it yet, you know.
Have you seen personality tests evolve to become more scientifically reliable? Is there new tech or development in this area that you might be excited about?
Not the actual psychometric tools themselves, because, I mean, the tools that we're qualified to use have been around for a long time. The Brain Dominance has been around since the 1980s. Feldman has been around since the 70s and 80s. Berkman started to be developed in the 1940s. The MBTI was developed in the 1940s and 50s. So I haven't used any recently developed tools. I think what has changed is the internet has made them a lot more available. I mean, previously you used to have to write to companies that provided psychometric profiling tools, and then you had to wait until they gave you the result back. So the immediacy of the information available is what has changed. And, you know, the ability to take these tools online, I think, is probably the major thing that has changed. And also, you know, you can have any number of graphs spewed out to look at your profile versus someone else's. So that's the major change that I see.
Helen, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
You're very welcome.
You just heard the Helen Langhammer saying thank you to herself. She's, of course, the director of Aspire Consulting. And we've been talking about psychometric tools or personality tests. I think a little bit of both, right? Personality tests, there being things like, well, the online quizzes that we see from time to time. And then more serious organization-based tools, I think, that people might be using in order to figure things out in terms of an organization. So we've been asking you whether this is something that you have ever used. You know, can you resist an online personality test is what we're saying, or do you absolutely need to know what kind of tomato you are? I also asked you earlier what kind of Myers-Briggs personality you were if you've taken the test, and Adam says INFJ, coincidentally 4 out of 8 in my unit share the same personality.
Wow. Adam, you know, get back to us which department specifically you work with, right? Because they say that certain personality types seem to fit a particular kind of job better.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm an INFJ, but when I recently retook the MBTI, I was something else. And then I took it again and I was something else again. So I think perhaps it depends on how I was feeling on the day.
Yeah, yeah. My results changed as well. I was an architect and I was like something else. I forgot all the letters, but it just depends how you were answering it.
Yeah, and one of the things that I remember about INFJ is they're like, you are 1% of the world's population. So 4 out of 8 in the unit is kind of...
That's 50%.
It's bucking the trend. And then we also have this message here saying, I love personality tests. Been doing it for a long, long time. Not sure how accurate it is, but it's weird how they come up with my personality with just a few questions. Sometimes, though, it feels like the reveal is very generic. And they are, by the way, Rocket Raccoon. So not bad.
You know, I always remember the time when before Pottermore, or now I think it's called Wizarding World or something, became official, before you could officially take a test from J.K. Rowling about which Potter house, Harry Potter house you belong to. Everyone had this assumption about who they are. There were some quizzes around that you could take to figure out what you were. And then when that came out, you got a different house. So you know, if the point of it was to have fun, when you find out that you're in a different house, I think it's a bit of an identity crisis.
Yes, I'm a Hufflepuff. I haven't been able to deal with it. I don't identify as a Hufflepuff, but according to the Sorting Hat, this is my life now. We also have Aaron saying, I disagree that personality tests help to put people to specific jobs. It's wrong to say people who are sequential and detail-oriented can't thrive in creative or strategy-making industries. I've seen and validated that they can do what is perhaps opposite to their preferences. Personality or psychometric tools are used to develop people more effectively, not to limit people to specific jobs, nor to decide if one is successful or not at a certain job, which I think our guest Helen also pretty much covered.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's supposed to like accurately represent who you are, or sort of like identify these are your traits, therefore you should be like this. But it does help in sort of like being a guideline to give you ideas about certain careers that might be suitable for you. But of course, at the end of the day, it's up to you to decide whether you know whether you are interested or whether you yourself think that you are suitable for a certain career path or a subject to choose in university.
So we're talking today about personality tests. Have you taken them? Can you resist them? Do you find them very accurate? Call us and let us know. 777-332-900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.